Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny First Impressions. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing, Adeoye Jr. Joining me is twitch.tv/AndyCortez.
Right here, Bless. I'm Andy, right here, man.
How you doing, dude?
I'm doing fantastic, man. We had a good day.
Yep.
And nothing like sitting down with some video games with your best bud and drinking a nice cold brew.
Oh, yeah, man. Nice cold brew. Some brews. Cheers, man.
You got a glass of vodka.
Cheers.
I got a glass of clear vodka. I got a glass of beer right here, man. It's a Monster Energy drink.
I mean, it's a party occasion because mm-hmm. we're playing a game mm-hmm. that most people haven't gotten their hands on yet.
Yeah. So I was last weekend, I was sent to Los Angeles, son of the City of Angels.
Nice.
That's what they call it.
Fun.
City of Angels.
City
man.
Of Angels. Did you go to Hollywood?
Stars everywhere. Oh, my gosh. No, I'll tell you what, though. So because I'm not considered the influencer, I'm considered press.
Oh,
I don't
okay.
have to say sponsored by Square Enix. I don't have to do all that.
Oh, we don't have to do any of that.
Yeah. I do have
time.
To say, hey, yeah, I was sent to L.A. Mm-hmm. It was a free flight, and it was a free hotel. And the hotel I stayed in right next to where the Oscars were.
Oh.
Like, I'm legitimately neighboring the big tent that they're setting up for all the Oscars or red carpet stuff. So it's pretty cool.
Dude, that's awesome.
But, Greg approached me and was like, hey, you like shooters? You like...
multiplayer games.
And I'm like, yeah, dude. Yeah. I get on the court. I'm draining threes. And he's like, no, Andy, video game shooters. I was like, oh, man. Mm. And so he was like, check out this game called Outriders. It's by Square Enix, and it's sort of their version of a sort of Western third person shooter.
Mm.
And I went to go check it out. And Barrett, if you want to play the video, we can probably
well,
just
actually,
talk
right,
over
right
it.
Before we get into it, I just want to let people know. Of course, this is Kinda Funny First Impressions. Each episode, we join you to talk about the new and exciting games that we're able to get our hands on. You can access it live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. Except this episode isn't live because this was pre-recorded because there's an embargo that happens every now and then with First Impressions. But that means it's more exciting. That means we get to come at you fresh with that content. We don't have to wait. We can just show you straight up. Mm-hmm. Pre-record this thing, put it out. Of course, you can access it also on youtube.com/kindafunnygames and on podcast services around the globe on the Gamescast feed. Today, of course, we're showing you gameplay of Outriders for PS4, Xbox One, and PC, but also on PS5 and Xbox Series X.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Barrett, let that thing play.
Yeah, let this bad boy play. So maybe you have the volume a little bit lower for this because the woman's going to be talking and it might, you know, I don't want it to be a bunch of dueling voices. So, the story of Outriders is civilization is dead. Mm-hmm. Earth is basically dead. We ran out of all resources. We got to leave. And so we land on some planet named Enoch. We're basically there to start a settlement and to sort of start society back up again. But there's this crazy anomaly. And it reminds me a lot of Anthem. Like, you ever heard of that game, Anthem?
Yeah.
You ever heard of that video
one game? Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't thought of Anthem in a long time, but this video game has a lot of those similar vibes where there's this...
You mean that like narratively and like in sort of
narratively.
Vibe?
Okay. Yeah, narratively. So especially with the whole, there's an anomaly. With Anthem, it was this giant sort of mysterious, ambiguous, what is this thing happening event.
Mm-hmm.
And this, an anomaly happens, and we don't really know exactly what it is, but... we are given powers while we're on this planet. And so you, as the Outrider, are sort of... you're pushed back into your cryostasis pod.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, stay safe in there, blah, blah, blah. And then you stay in your cryostasis pod for 30 years.
Oh, wow.
And all while this anomaly is happening.
Okay, we got gameplay right here.
This is what the gameplay is. So that's me. And that the dude with the white beard and hair, that is Alana Pierce.
Whoa!
Of Funhouse.
Whoa!
And then woman with the hair right there.
It's Phil Spencer.
That is Phil Spencer. No, that is Andrea Renee.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
She's here too.
Wow.
Yeah, a bunch of stars
on
my squad. Right? It was a motley crew of just gamers, man.
So People Can Fly are the people that developed this game. It's being published by Square Enix.
Mm-hmm.
But People Can Fly, they worked on games such as Gears Judgment and...
Bulletstorm.
Bulletstorm. Yeah. And they apparently also have a game called Painkiller.
Yeah, Painkiller is an older school sort of shooter. I had never played it, but when they mentioned that, I sort of like, oh, yeah, that game. You know?
Yeah, they describe it. On their website as a very ambitious RPG shooter, which to me makes me think kind of like Anthem or like a loot shooter. Would you say that this is a loot shooter, or would you describe it differently?
This is definitely a looter shooter, but they were very explicit in saying this is not a games as a service game. There are no loot boxes.
Okay.
There are zero loot boxes. It is essentially, think Gears and The Division. is what I would mix it as. Because you get to play with your friends, you get to play with your fellow Outriders.
Did they talk about whether or not it's like a live game at all, or is it like what you get is what you get? We're not gonna like keep expanding this over and over again.
It seems like they did mention end game and all that sort of those sort of nouns
those
that you hear
terms.
When it comes those buzzwords when you get to these sort of looter shooters. So people did ask about end game content, and they were very secretive about it, of course. But the whole game is about essentially. You pick from three different classes.
Uh-huh.
You pick from the Pyromancer, and Andrea was the Pyromancer.
Okay.
And it's sort of like your mage type. High DPS powers, high DPS powers, but kind of squishy, right? You're not gonna have a lot of defense there. I played as the Devastator, and I basically just, Alana and Andrea picked their classes first. I was left with the Devastator. I was pretty bummed out about that. But
hey,
it doesn't matter what class I am, because I'm just clicking heads left and right here. You can see this
gameplay. You're devastating those people, dude. You're fucking them up.
I'm just clicking heads left and right. It doesn't matter. You put a sniper within my hands, this war's over. Adolf Hitler's dead, dude. And so the Devastator class is sort of the tank class. Has the ability of...
Hey, you're getting it in. I like
it. I'm getting it. Let me tell you, man. The Devastator class is really cool. Think like the Thing from Fantastic Four.
Okay.
So you kind of you can manipulate the earth and rocks and shit like that.
Yeah.
And so the main power you sort of start off with, you can see at the bottom of the screen of the gameplay.
Oh.
That's sort of the ability where it sort of creates this wave of rocks.
Yeah.
And it not only stuns abilities and knocks them down, but it causes damage. And as we keep flying through this level, Alana was the Trickster, I believe. Let me get that correct.
So as you're looking for this, I have a question. So like, what is the goal of what you're doing right now? Are you trying to get to the end of the level, or are there like
objectives?
This
is this is towards the end. So we couldn't show you the prologue.
Okay,
that was off limits. So right here we're sort of just running through this mission now. I'll tell you this about games like this and this game as well. I'm sure the story, it gets really, really great and awesome. Mm-hmm. The writing was kind of right? I'm kind of like, some of the dialogue that's happening, the voice acting seems kind of suspect,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, from People Can Fly, that's kind of the vibe I've gotten from, like, I've played some of Bulletstorm, and it didn't necessarily feel like the most, like, grounded, story-based, narrative third-person shooter, but it seemed, like, confident enough in the shooting.
So
I was like, it's fun.
I'm not going to get the name right because I don't even remember the name. And it's because I'm that bad at my job. But one of the gentlemen who worked on several Telltale games, it was the lead writer for this.
Oh, okay.
So I got to assume, because there were really cool story beats that happened that I won't spoil for the viewer.
So this looks very Destiny.
Very Destiny-like. Yes. The looting is very Destiny-like. Everything from customizing. Can you go back to that, Barrett, and just sort of freeze? Again, there's five slots to the right of the character, and it's helmet, it's the suit, it's the legs, it's the, I don't know what's below the legs, and it's the and it's the boots or whatever.
It's the knees.
And so it might be, who knows, I don't remember. But you can customize all these, and we'll see the screen pop up later on where I am a little bit more kitted out. Mm. But the weapons on the left, you have two weapons, and then you have a sidearm.
Okay.
So,
and are the two weapons, I know I'm getting the details, but I don't know if you remember this, but like, are the two weapons whatever they want to be, or are they like, okay, you have snipers, rocket launchers, whatever, and then on this in this box you have these certain types of weapons? Or?
I think they restricted you, if I remember correctly, because I felt like... you have to have two different classes of weapons. It felt like whether it was a shotgun and a sniper or a shotgun and an AR. I don't know if you could mix up an AR and an AR.
Okay,
you know what I mean?
That's what I'm driving at.
And so they are all in sort of subcategories. So you can click continue, Barrett. Thank you for stopping it. The Trickster, by the way, is what Alana played as. And the Trickster has a lot of really cool abilities where they can essentially manipulate time.
Okay.
So they have these really cool AOE things where it's just a blue bubble, area of effect, by the way, for you non-gamers out there. It's a big blue bubble, and when enemies are inside of it, they start moving in slow motion. Mm-hmm. And you'll see in certain moments of the fighting... I left this gameplay in here so you could just sort of see how... This is kind of how the hub world looks, essentially. But the AOE stuff with the Trickster, it's a big blue bubble, and enemies in it are moving in slow-mo. And it's really cool because as they shoot, you see their bullets traveling in this bubble.
Okay.
And it's really sick. And it provides you with the ability to, much like in Anthem, combine attacks. Like,
yeah, different abilities.
There are several moments you'll see in this video where Alana does the slow-mo bubble thing, and there's a bunch of enemies in there, mm-hmm. and then I do my rock thing, and I knock uh-huh. a bunch of people in there. And so there's a lot of cool way to combo moves, but those are only the sort of entry-level moves. I just left this in here so you can sort of see, hey, what it's like to buy stuff from dudes.
This really is like a loot game.
It is totally a looter shooter, which I didn't really get that vibe when we first got there. But, mm-hmm. but when we first got there, I just assumed it would be kind of a really story-based game that, yeah, you could play with your friends if you'd like. But uh-huh. then once these elements started surfacing, I was like, oh, yeah, this is totally...
Is it meant for a co-op, meant for multiplayer?
It feels like it, yeah. I feel like it'd be not as fun to play it without friends. Uh-huh.
Is this like a hub area that you're in? Or
this is sort of the main hub area. So everything's sort of ruined again. The world... So this takes place 30 years after you awaken from the cryostasis pod. Mm-hmm. And you are an altered being. And it's really neat because people in the beginning of the game that you sort of conversed with, you pop out of the cryostasis pod and they're old now. Because they lived those 30 years, wow. and you were frozen, like, totally
preserved.
It's like
Breath of the Wild type thing.
It's pretty sick, yeah. And so you walk out and you have to talk to them, and some of them aren't too happy about the situation because they're basically dealing with this awful situation. So the anomaly affected everything. So that's why the enemies and the villains are so much more powerful now. Mm. They talk about in the cutscene, like, we were altered, but so were they. And it shows, like, how... just creatures in nature start to become mm-hmm. sort of these mutant creatures or whatever. Highly powered and stuff like that. This is an example. This is just a little piece of the cutscene that I left in. Again, I'm not a huge fan of the voice actor. I hope it kind of improves a little bit. But it reminds me of... You played Heavy Rain, of course.
Yeah, I played a lot of Heavy Rain, yeah.
So it reminds me of... somebody who isn't a native English speaker, but trying to do an American accent.
Yeah, somebody with a different accent.
It reminds you of Heavy Rain, where everybody was Swedish, but they were trying to be American.
Yeah.
And I would just prefer just be Swedish, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that.
And it may not be, but it just sounds like that. There's sort of like little things about the speech patterns that just...
What's the game like tonally? Like, is it very much like serious? Like, we're taking this world is supposed to be grounded.
It's a very serious, dreary world, but there are moments of levity, and there's some comedic moments between you and certain characters, and there's kind of like the remember what we did back home, and like I remember that. You know, like they want you to sort of get attached to these. So this is the source.
Yeah, this is what you're talking about.
The bullets flying. It's really sick.
That's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, so the mood that I had starting off with this game is, like, the first couple of minutes in the prologue, I didn't feel like I was going to enjoy this. And mm-hmm. I felt like it was going to be pretty generic of a title.
Yeah.
But an hour in, me and Alana and Andrew are having a blast.
Really?
Like, legitimately having a lot of fun playing this.
Because that's what I was about to say toward the beginning of this when we first started seeing gameplay. It looked different than what I expected. Like, I expected something to be... I expected it to look more like a, like, effects-heavy, like, okay, yeah, this is a grounded first-person shooter. I didn't really expect all of these online elements. And so when I first saw it, I was like, oh, yeah. All right, let's see what this looks like.
But yeah.
It looks like a fun time.
It's really sick, yeah. And, if, you know, all the enemies have all their different variants. Similar to in Borderlands, how you have the psychos that run at you really fast, and they're more melee-based. And then there are bigger bosses and... more brooding sort of enemies. Mm-hmm. And it's one thing, I played on PC, and Andrea and Alana were playing on with a controller.
Yeah.
But Alana is a sort of Gears veteran, and I think Andrea is too. I am not. I've never really liked Gears.
Uh-huh.
Mostly just because it was a little too bro for me.
Yeah.
A little too, like,
we're
big buff dudes.
Big dudes.
I was like, all right, like, it just didn't fit that vibe, but... Alana loved it, and she was talking about how the movement felt great. It reminds me a lot of Division, but it doesn't feel slow. Division always felt very plodding and very heavy, and this is obviously a lot more like Gears, where you are flying around a lot. There's the ability to dodge out of the way from explosive. You know, whenever there's a grenade near you, you see the area of effect that the grenade's going to explode. And I just love the fast, frenetic sort of energy of
Does it feel like a cover-based shooter in the sense that, like, you feel like you have to find cover and not pop out and, like, feel kind of scared for your survival? Or do you feel like you're running around a lot more?
So I think you are running around a lot more. I think it's there are several moments where we tried that a little bit later on in this video, and it gets really – it gets kind of hairy because we are – overpowered and we have to take cover. Every class has ways to heal themselves as well. And I forgot how Andrea's class, the pyromancer, and Alana's class, the trickster, heal themselves. But mine is really cool where if I am killing enemies at a close range, I am gaining back a certain amount of health.
Okay.
And that's my method of healing. But yeah, earlier on, we saw sort of a skill tree, and you'll see it here pop up a bit later as well. But the skill trees let you go into three paths, similar to Borderlands. And I'm not sure how those affect your abilities. I got to assume it's more health, you know, more magic, or more combat, you know, what I got to assume it is.
Does this game feel like it does anything to separate itself from other third-person shooters of a similar ilk? Or does it feel like it's just another one of those? So far from what I've seen... From what I am seeing, I feel like I've seen this before.
I totally agree. Yeah. And I think it's just a matter of playing it and seeing what the moment-to-moment combat feels like.
Okay.
Because I wouldn't disagree. This game doesn't pop out to me as anything mind-blowing. But actually playing it with friends and getting into... and, you know, there's some frame rate issues and stuff here as well. But
it's pre-release.
Obviously pre-build. Yeah. You know, this is all, you know, unoptimized and stuff. Yeah, I wouldn't disagree. I think that this game, at first glance, seems pretty generic, right? But it's the way the arenas are built out, when you do enter an area with a lot of enemies, I think it's all super smartly designed. This is a cool little side mission where you... the devs made it clear that they want to sort of shock you and subvert your expectations with what happens with certain characters. So this guy is like... Hey, I've got a lot of I got a secret stash of you know wares that you could buy, and you're like, sure, let's do that. And then stuff happens that I sort of cut away from because I don't want the player to be spoiled by. But it's cool, and you know this guy's supposed to be like any typical guy that you're buying gear from, and then story stuff happens.
Is it violent, or how would you describe it?
Yeah, it's violent. Yeah. Okay. There's a lot of, like, you know, kind of shocking kills that happen in this game.
Gotcha.
this is an example of one of the sort of mini bosses that you encounter.
Is that, he's less that guy than that's in Raptured in Flames?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's this dude right here.
Flame Tornado.
I'd say it's less of a mini boss because he does sort of have his own cutscene arc and everything. But so right now I have all three of my abilities unlocked. If you look at the bottom of the screen, my second skill turns me basically into the thing, and rocks envelop my whole body, and I take a lot less percentage of damage.
We I don't know if you said, we saw it a little bit before in like a different interaction.
Oh, gotcha.
And that was really cool. Like you saw all of the rocks like come and surround
you. Really cool.
Yeah, it looks really, really
good. Yeah, and you'll see it right here again. I eventually do it. I had to heal Alana here because she died. She sucks at games.
Dang, Alana.
She's so bad at games.
Wow.
Funhouse should just give you the job.
Dude, wow. It's really embarrassing, man. Dude. You should hire me instead.
Adrian and Andy just carrying Alana.
Yeah, for real. So the third ability is pretty neat because I go up into the sky and I'm able to click down on an enemy and I kind of jump down to them. And it is sort of a spread effect. It is an area of effect attack where anybody sort of in the vicinity gets hit and stunned. This is I think during this part, Andrea's game had crashed or something like that. There was like a disconnection error there at the event. So it was just me and Alana kind of tearing through this. But the game does have sort of these world tiers, similar to The Division, where you could play at a higher world tier and get face tougher enemies and have tougher loot.
Yeah.
The game will not have dynamic leveling in terms of what Borderlands 3 did.
Okay.
So they were pretty explicit in saying, like, we tried that out. We didn't really like the way that felt. In terms of, like, they said it felt like it had no weight or consequence to it, where... Mm-hmm. And I'm paraphrasing, but in Borderlands, where Baird can be level 50 and I could be level 12, and I walk in and we have no trouble.
Yeah, you're able to play in each other's games because of skills.
Yeah, they are very much like, if you're level 12 and you go into a level 50s game, it's going to be way fucking harder for you. Or what the level 50 person can do is play at a lower world tier, and you can meet in the middle if you'd like. It depends on the host's game. Whoever the host is sort of has control of that.
Did they say how long this game might be at all?
They didn't hint at that. I got to assume it's a, if you main path it, I got to assume it's like a 20 to 30 hour. I have no idea, but it doesn't feel like a small game. One really neat thing is this game has sort of this mobile forward operating base where you have a giant truck that it reminds me of in Dragon Age Inquisition, where you could go to separate campsites and set up and kind of even like in Red Dead Redemption Part 2, where you can go to certain sites and kind of...
And set up. And it's always moving.
You could do that with these trucks or whatever. And you can customize the truck. And apparently you don't control the truck, but it is customizable in a sense that you could have, I guess, better weapons on it. Or it's kind of just like your home away from home. Right here is the skill tree where we see three of the classes. So Entangler is, I believe, more of the up-close combat melee. The middle is Warden, which is you have more of your sort of your magic points, your skill points. And the bottom is Seismic Shifter. And I clicked that one because that was more of a health benefit. So the first skill point was like, you know, you see, you get more health at this little, you know, blip.
Yeah.
And I moved on and I leveled up there.
I like what
it Tim's here. Hey, Tim.
Hey. Just want to jack this for a second, guys. Letting you guys know and announcing to you guys that on Friday we're going to be doing a stream of Bleeding Edge.
Whoa.
I got both you guys' codes for it. I slacked you on. So.
Dude, I am excited.
I'm stoked for that.
Yeah. So if you're watching this on Thursday, tomorrow, look forward to that stream live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames.
That's very exciting.
And if you're watching this on Thursday, later today, we'll be streaming some Bloodroots.
We're not replacing that.
Okay.
Sorry, Bloodroots.
So go ahead and I guess keep playing, Barrett.
Really quick, I just want to point out that there's some skill points like in between each tree. So like I assume that's going to be like a little bit of half and half, and I like that idea.
Yeah, and or you know, because based on like what Destiny does, where it's like, you know, you could get extra health points or this and that. You know, it's kind of like, it's usually like an either or situation. Gotcha. But again, it looks, you know, pretty in depth. If you keep playing it, I think we get towards a boss ish fight.
Yeah, we got about two more minutes in this clip, so
yeah.
We should be
so
close.
Yeah, again, I just love the way this sort of levels are designed. Guns feel great.
Does your character have any personality? Are they a silent protagonist?
Or no, like, in cutscenes they talk.
They talk in the
Yeah,
in
they
cutscenes.
Are they are sort of the main dude in the cutscenes.
Do you customize your character or create your character?
Yes, you do.
Interesting.
Okay. I hope there's a little bit... It reminds me of Destiny, where... You will rarely see your customer or your customized character. So it all comes down to budget, right? Like, if you have a lot of budget and you want to put it towards the creation of different helmet designs and different masks or hoods or whatever, then that's where it's going to go. But character to customization, there wasn't a whole lot there.
But you're barely going to ever see your character.
Well, I mean, you do have the ability, like in Destiny, to watch your cutscenes without the helmet.
Oh.
Yeah. Cool. And so this is sort of like the lead up towards one of the first bosses. I don't show much of it, but it's just you know, they're trying to bring in a lot of personality into.
So I saw a jump there. Was that your editing or was that the game?
Oh, that was because they started the mission, so it took me there.
Gotcha. Okay, that was like the second or third time I saw that, so I was curious.
So this is sort of like this guy has been altered by as all fuck. This dude is altered as hell, you know.
Dude, he's like a Sith Lord.
Super altered.
It's pretty sick, yeah.
This is pretty awesome.
This boss fight was pretty lengthy and meaty, and it was a lot of fun once you start to figure out the attack patterns.
Yeah.
Were pretty interesting. It reminds me a lot of how Borderlands had really fun attack patterns from bosses. Just same with the Division, you know, where... You know, attacks are made, and then you have to avoid those damaged things on the ground. You know, and those things are constantly moving and evolving, and you have to go run for cover every once in a while because he's going to have a move that isn't avoidable. You know,
uh-huh.
But the game just it's think The Division or Borderlands with a lot more fun movement, I think, like in Gears of War, where just dodging and stuff just becomes kind of second nature. You have to always be avoiding attacks. And a great thing is, see that? Can you rewind that a little bit? That
effect is skeleton.
That effect is so fucking cool, where it's an effect that that Alana is putting on his ass. And other it was happening to other enemies as well, where you see his body, a skeleton.
Yeah. That's awesome.
That's fucking sick.
That's pretty sick.
Like, there's a lot of polish, art and effect-wise, in this game. It's beautiful to look at, and it was a blast to play, man. Nice. I really can't wait to get my hands on it. A game that kind of came out of nowhere,
it was at that E3 conference. I remember seeing the reveal and being like, all right, we'll see. Like, that looks like a game for sure. Like,
yeah, it was just like this woman looks like Furiosa from Mad Max. Yeah, but I don't really see much else.
It coming out of Square Enix was like the key thing that kind of caught my attention, because if you remember, like, E3 Square Enix, their conference was just like a bunch of JRPGs, like JRPG, 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 and then they showed this and then Avengers, and I was what's Outriders? Yeah. Like, I want to see more of that.
I was talking with Michael Huber from Easy Allies, and we were like, suddenly we care about this now, because we played it and it's fun as hell. And
that's awesome.
The story seems intriguing enough to where I'm not a huge fan of the dialogue so far, but again, we only played like the first 2 hours or so. And even then, you know, we're screwing around in menus and looking at our loot and upgrading constantly.
Yeah. This is going to be a weird question, but do you feel like, you know, the game's coming out on PS5 and Xbox Series X? Did you feel like it was a Series X game at all, or did it seem like it was like, they're just porting it over?
No, it felt like a really high-powered PC game, multiplayer game, like in the sense of when you see somebody play Destiny online on PC, where, you know, we're streaming it, or we're not streaming it, but we were playing it at, you know, very, very high. I gotta assume like 144 hertz or up.
Yeah,
it felt super smooth. It felt really, really great. Yeah, I can't say visually that I felt like it
like took things up a notch.
Yeah, but I think a lot of that is because it is this sort of not a shared world shooter, but it is
a multiplayer online game
with a lot of other elements.
Yeah, a lot of stuff going on.
This isn't a single player action adventure Naughty Dog
God
game,
of War.
You know? Yeah, this is there's a lot more to it. But I'm super excited for it. Again, a game that kind of came out of nowhere where I just didn't think much of it, but it seems like it's going to be a blast, and I can't wait to play it with friends. And I'm sure I think it's a game that'll take some people convincing of whether they are into the mood or not, but I think someone like Greg, who is into sort of that loot grind and really found a lot of joy and fun from The Division, it is a little less tactical, obviously. There's not like these drones and all these like gadgets, but a lot of it is just powers and getting up in the action.
Yeah, it seems more for like the Borderlands fan than the Division fan.
For sure. Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, everybody, let us know what you think of Outriders. Let us know in the comments. Remember to smash that like button. I guess that's the thing I'm saying now.
Hit the like button, guys.
Actually, that's a future bit.
You hosted this for like 4 episodes, and it wasn't until we recorded something where you were like, how do I end this show?
I don't know how to end these anymore. Remember, this is kind of funny first impressions.
It's going super smooth right now.
Each episode, you can join us, talk about new games we get our hands on, all that good stuff. Remember, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Podcast services around the globe, Gamescast. Let us know what you think of Outriders. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve.